The House Judiciary Committee was a spectacle of division as Democrats and Republicans grilled Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein. The Republicans feverishly attacking all of the revelations surrounding the FBI's political power play and the fraudulent Steele dossier.
What in the hell is going on with the Department of Justice and the FBI? The reason we have special counsel, this is a very important point, and you know it, the reason we have special counsel is because of a conflict of interest. The regulation itself specifically makes reference to a conflict of interest, and we don't like conflicts of interest because it undercuts people's confidence in both the process and the result. So let's be really clear why we have special counsel. There was either a real or perceived conflict of interest that we were fearful would either impact the result or people's confidence in the process. That's why we have something called special counsel, and that's why we have special counsel in this fact pattern. And then lo and behold, those who are supposed to make sure there are no conflicts of interest seem to have a few of their own. There's a senior prosecutor who sent obsequious emails to a fact witness. She can be described as nothing other than a fact witness. She's a really important fact witness if you pursue the line of inquiry that my Democrat friends want to pursue. They got off of collusion and now they're on obstruction of justice. She may be the most important fact witness in an obstruction of justice case. And the senior prosecutor for this conflict of interest-free special counsel sent a fawning, obsequious email to a fact witness. And then we have prosecutors assigned to conduct this investigation who donated almost exclusively to one candidate over another. And then we have a prosecutor assigned to this conflict of interest-free team that attended what was supposed to be, what he'd hoped to be, a victory party for Secretary Clinton. And we have a senior DOJ official, Mr. Deputy Attorney General, with an office that used to be two doors down from yours, meeting with Fusion GPS. And Fusion GPS, of course, was paying for Russian dirt on the very person that they're supposed to be objectively investigating. And then that same senior DOJ official's wife, the one that met with Fusion GPS, his wife was on the payroll of Fusion GPS.
While the Democrats continued to hold President Trump's feet to the fire, ignoring any wrongdoing.
I take it your judgment on Mr. Mueller has not changed today.
Correct.
And you would not have appointed a special counsel or appointed Mr. Mueller if you thought he was going to engage in a witch hunt, correct?
Correct.
And so it's you... You then would disagree with the president's labeling of the special counsel's investigation as a witch hunt, I assume.
I don't know exactly what the president meant by that, Congressman. The special counsel's investigation is not a witch hunt.
On top of this stinking pile of deception, Paul Joseph Watson added one more revelation. Paul writes, amidst the 10,000 messages sent between anti-Trump FBI agent Peter Strzok and lawyer Lisa Page, is a bizarre exchange revealing how the two, almost certainly with Deputy FBI Director Andy McCabe, discussed an insurance policy in case Donald Trump won the presidential election. It reads, I want to believe the path you threw out for consideration in Andy's office, that there's no way Trump gets elected. But I'm afraid we can't take that risk, Strzok wrote to his mistress, adding, it's like an insurance policy in the unlikely event you die before you're 40. Wall Street Journal columnist Kimberly Strassel remarked, press is focusing deliberately on Strzok texts expressing hostility to Trump and noting it is okay for agents to have political opinions. Press needs to focus on the messages suggesting he'd act on that hostility insurance policy, which is not okay. None of this is okay. Clearly, if Hillary had won the presidency, we would have never heard about half of this. But she didn't. And this may only be the tip of the iceberg when it comes to the fallout as the Clinton machine crashes on the White House lawn. John Bound reporting for Infowars.
Let's make talk radio great. This is the War Room.
Welcome into the War Room. It is Thursday, December 14th, 2017. Merry Christmas from everyone here at InfoWars. And you just heard the report from John Bowne talking about how on the Hill yesterday during Rosenstein's testimony, anything that was left of the Russian collusion special counsel probe has pretty much been burned to the ground and exposed. But it actually gets one level better as I'm going to take us back in time a year ago, and we're going to look at Trump's statements about this a year ago, how the media reacted, saying Trump was wrong, but was he? We're going to review that in a second. But just real quick, we've got a loaded show today. Paul Nehlen is going to be joining us in the first hour to discuss the rumors that Paul Ryan is going to be resigning and stepping down his office. And that sets it up for Paul Nehlen perhaps to come in there and not have to drain the swamp of Ryan if he's going to drain the swamp of himself. Roger Stone is going to be here in the second hour, obviously breaking down the latest in the White House intrigue and such. Darren McBreen comes in studio in the third hour to talk Russian collusion and how liberalism is destroying, well, their own culture, really. They're just pushing people away from their own cultures. And then Leanne McAdoo in the final segment. And we'll talk with her about what happened today in the FCC where a meeting had a bomb threat and they had to shut down the meeting momentarily. Of course, Ajit Pai, who was running the meeting, has received death threats on Twitter as well. But that's okay so far, according to Twitter. But now, let me get into this. So what I did, and I actually like to do this occasionally because it can give you some perspective. You just go back a year in time or 2 years, and you try to get a lay of the land. Specifically with this, I wanted to see what was being said and what Trump was saying about the Russian collusion narrative a year ago, before he even took office, when they were first really trying to brew this thing up. Now, we discussed yesterday with callers some of the interesting timing with the Orr family and Christopher Steele and communications and these new text messages from Peter Strzok Strzok that have been revealed now as well. And so that kind of sheds a little light. But let's go back in time to a year ago. First, we'll start actually more than a year ago. And this aligns up with the timing of the text messages and then what the caller was saying yesterday about how they were kind of fomenting this whole thing back in April and May, getting the communication and everything ready, and that's what the text messages would reveal too. So here we go. This is from Politico, August 17th, 2016, and this is when it really started to begin. Trump says, "I don't trust U.S. intelligence information." Now, this story was basically about Mike Flynn and why he wants Mike Flynn on his team and why he's bringing Mike Flynn over. Now, they put that headline on there because this is the first time when they're trying to get a reaction out of Trump about the intelligence agencies so that when they make the claim, they can go back and say, well, why did you trust them then and not now? No, can't Trump the Trumpster. He was rock solid the entire time as far back as last August saying, I don't trust the U.S. intelligence information. Okay. This is December 10th, 2016. It starts to get more interesting. From Politico, Trump's derision dismays intelligence specialists. I'm going to read exactly from these stories. Intelligence and foreign policy specialists were aghast Saturday at President-elect Donald Trump's latest disparagement of the intelligence community and perturbed by the Republican National Committee's accusation that the intelligence officials are hawking politically motivated narratives. Oh, so it's not politically motivated. How dare you make that assumption? And then we find out it is. The condemnation came after Trump's transition team and the RNC rejected news reports posted Friday night that the CIA and other intelligence agencies had determined in a secret assessment, that the Russian government had interfered in this year's election specifically to elect Trump. Now, here we are a year later, and they still haven't proven that. And then you have John Cohen, who served in the intelligence agencies under Bush and Obama, says, this does not bode well for the future. Well, yeah, if you're a Bushite and Obamaite, I guess not. I go on. The reactions came, and this is how they do it, folks. The reactions came a whirlwind 12 hours that started when the Washington Post, the fake news Washington Post first reported on the CIA secret meeting. Then the failing New York Times followed up with a piece reporting that intelligence officials had concluded, quote, with high confidence, leaves them an out there, that the Russians had also hacked the RNC's computer systems, but had intentionally withheld any pilfered information. Oh, in an unsigned late night press release, the Trump transition team blasted both findings, saying these are the same people that said Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction. Ooh, ouch. So they were wrong about that. They couldn't be wrong about the Russian thing, though, right? Even Sean Spicer hits back. The RNC's chief strategist and communications director at the time admonished the Times for what he said was simply false reporting and insisted the RNC had not been hacked. And then he says, quote, it didn't happen. We offered the New York Times conclusive proof that it didn't happen. They refused to look at it. They ignored it because it didn't fit the narrative. Wait a second. So the RNC actually offered to give over their computers to prove they weren't hacked. We're still waiting for the DNC to give that information over. Oh, that's right. They're not. So the RNC offered the proof. The DNC is still yet to offer the proof. Spicer then accused intelligence officials of pushing the story for political purposes. Oh, how outrageous. How dare Spicer said that? Oh, wait. Now we found out it's right. I quote Spicer, I believe that there are people within these agencies that are upset with the election and are pushing a personal agenda. Wow, and Sean Spicer was 100% right. Lawmakers, same story still, lawmakers are pushing for such a commission as well, calling on the White House to turn over its eventual, they're just assuming these things, eventual findings from a just announced review of election-related hacking so Congress can conduct its own probe. So, see, you read that story now, and how dumb does Politico look? It gets better. The next day, December 11th, 2016, Trump says, I don't need daily briefings. President-elect Donald Trump said he does not need to receive the presidential intelligence briefing every day, suggesting in an interview aired Sunday that such briefings are repetitive and he is happy to rely on those around him on matters of intelligence and national security. Now, they try to spin that and tell you that Trump is dumb and ignorant because he's not taking these intelligence reports. No, he was simply saying that I'm getting these reports. I don't need them eight times a day, the same report. But then this is the juiciest of the juicies. Same story from Politico, December 11th, 2016, just a year ago. Trump has been critical of the U.S. intelligence community, both as a presidential candidate and as president-elect. What did I say? He's been rock solid on this, just like everything else. The real estate mogul has called ridiculous reports that the intelligence community had come to a consensus that the Russian government had launched cyber attacks during the election process intended to help install him as president. He told Wallace that he does not believe the intelligence community's assessment, drumroll please, instead suggesting that it might be a politically motivated attack against him by Democrats. Wow. That, folks, was December 11th, 2016. Spicer said it. Trump said it. Word for word, this is a Democrat attack. It's fake news. Here's our servers. The DNC won't show you theirs. This is totally convoluted and a political hit job because they don't like the results. Trump said it, Spicer said it, and this is so key. Trump said it. I'll repeat it again. This is from December 11th, 2016. Trump told Wallace he does not believe the intelligence community's assessment, instead suggesting that it might be a politically motivated attack against him by Democrats. And now here we are a year later, and the president was 110,000% accurate. This is December 12th, 2016, the day after that, Trump versus Congress on Russian hacking. It talks about how all of these senators, John McCain, Lindsey Graham, Chuck Schumer, they need an investigation into this without allowing it to become a partisan issue, without. So will they now come out and say something, McCain, Graham, Schumer, that this is clearly a partisan and biased probe into Trump? We're waiting. Trump was right over a year ago. The rest are still wrong. I've just got stacks of news here. We're going to try to get to all of it by the end of the show, but we just have a loaded broadcast today. Paul Nehlen is going to join us in the next segment. We're going to be talking about the reports that Paul Ryan is going to be stepping aside come 2018, as well as the terms of service of Twitter, which they're about to change and probably just honestly purge everyone off Twitter. They're saying that that was set to happen December 18th. That was the rumor. We'll see if that's the case. Honestly, there's just all kinds of news. Bitcoin stuff. I mean, it's all insane. Christmas is right around the corner. And then on top of that, I'll just say, I think the storm is probably on the horizon right about New Year's. You're going to start seeing the signs. In fact, to be honest, you're already seeing where this is about to go, folks. You're already seeing where this is about to go. And based on what we just saw in Alabama, let's just say they can't let that happen during the midterms. Now, I'm just going to somehow have to keep my blinders on here and just stay focused on this news. So I just broke down on the last segment. So now we know everything with this Russian whole collusion thing. We now know of the DOJ colluding with the FBI, that's the Oars, colluding with Comey, colluding with the Obama administration, that's the Oars, visiting the White House, colluding with Christopher Steele, that's, again, the Oars, meeting with Christopher Steele. And then you've got Glenn Simpson of Fusion GPS, again, meeting with the Oars, and in fact, one of the Oars working there. So the Oars in the DOJ were essentially your conduit for the FBI Comey, the White House Obama, Fusion GPS Glenn Simpson, and Christopher Steele, the former agent from England. So there you go. And then what do we find out about Peter Stroke, who was in charge of these investigations, as well as the Hillary investigations? He worked with James Comey to change the phrasing on the Hillary investigation so that it wasn't illegal and that she couldn't be punished and charged. He was the one in charge of investigating Hillary Clinton. Then it comes out, we find in these text messages, he was a total shill for Hillary, total Trump hater. And beyond that, and again, here comes the FBI with Andy McCabe, was having meetings with Andy McCabe and his mistress, which nobody seems to care about that all of a sudden. Every other sexual assault mistresses, you know, that, but this guy's mistress, nobody talks about that. Okay, whatever. He's telling her how he hates Trump. Trump shouldn't get one vote. But the key is they need to have the insurance plan in case Trump wins. So the Russian collusion, delusion, fake dossier, fake probe, fake commission, total fake, made up news that I just showed you in the last segment that Trump predicted a year ago. He knew this was coming a year ago. Now here we are. That's hit rock bottom. I'm not sure how much lower, but here's the thing. It will get lower, folks. If they don't shut this thing down, it's only going to get worse. Believe me, it's only going to get worse. There's other texts. There's other emails. They got them. They'll release them. They're just asking them, how far are you willing to go? How much do you want to expose yourself before we bring you down? So they're just going to keep walking the plank then. So that's fine. So basically, the Russian collusion, the commission, the probe, all of that stuff, which most people realized was fake long, long ago, has hit rock bottom already. And instead of giving it up, they're going to get out their jackhammers and they're just going to go lower. They're going to jack right down and go lower than rock bottom. So we don't even know. They're going to hit like, you know, fecal bottom here or something. But how does the USA Today twist it? This is the headline from the USA Today this week that they just updated yesterday. Will Trump's lows ever hit rock bottom? And then they say, a president who'd all but call a senator a whore is unfit to clean toilets in Obama's presidential library or to shine George W. Bush's shoes. Folks, I can't tell you how much joy I get out of this. Again, Trump's tweets send the left into a tizzy that they cannot figure out. So Trump tweets out, I talked about it yesterday, I want to bring it back because I think it's so rich. Trump tweets, lightweight Senator Kristen Gillibrand, a totally flunky for Chuck Schumer and someone who would come to my office begging for campaign contributions not so long ago and would do anything for them is now in the ring against Trump. Very disloyal to Bill and Crooked. Used. So immediately, Senator Schumer says that Trump is slut-shaming Kirsten Gillibrand. Then the USA Today says that he called Kirsten Gillibrand a whore. That's funny because in Trump's tweets, you can't find the word slut or whore. So I'm not sure where they're getting that. And then you look at Gillibrand's past. This is a woman who regularly was meeting with Bill Clinton. This is a woman who regularly was meeting with Harvey Weinstein. And then you start to wonder, did Trump just bait Warren and the USA Today into admitting that Kirsten Gillibrand is perhaps, well, let's use Warren's and the USA Today's words, a slut or a whore? Well, we'll just go ahead and leave that one right there. But it doesn't stop there. The Washington Post says Trump's more endorsement sunk the presidency to unplummeted deaths. You know, I wanted to go to these video clips. Of course, I talked over them. Let's just go to these right now. So Roy Moore is refusing to concede. And the Washington Post says he's going in on a religious crusade, which I find hilarious. The guy basically does a video saying we need to just return morals to this country. You know, basic stuff. And they call it a religious crusade. But they would never call a guy, or let's say now we have hundreds of guys, blowing people up. Shouting Allahu Akbar. That's not a religious crusade. None of that's a religious crusade, but Roy Moore is. Guys, let's go to this video where you have a Jones supporter, a Doug Jones supporter say, we came from all over the country for this.
As part of our fellowship, and all of us pitched in to vote and canvass together, and we got our boy elected!
So they're cheering how they came in from all over the country to vote and canvass. Now, is he saying that people from all over the country were coming in to try to manipulate this election by just, you know, canvassing? Perhaps you could have loony people willing to do that. Or is he saying that people illegally voted that weren't from the state of Alabama? I think that's open for debate. But then you have this video from Project Veritas where, well, you've already had Project Veritas caught the Democrats admitting to potentially thinking about voter fraud. But, look, guys, let's roll clip six now.
I think there's a lot of voter fraud. Right. Like I say, people don't realize certain neighborhoods in particular, they bust people around to vote.
They bust people in to vote, says the Board of Elections of New York. Interesting. So did that guy just admit that the Democrats were bussing people in to vote for Doug Jones? Project Veritas, you know, I mean, they've caught the Democrats admitting dirty politics. So do we have something here? Oh, we got something here, folks. There's something here. Trust me there. Guest, electneelan.com, and you can find him on Twitter at pneelan. And usually I'd be introducing Paul as a man who's going to drain the swamp of Paul Ryan, but now the rumors are that Paul Ryan is going to drain the swamp of himself. Paul, thank you so much for joining me today. This is big news for your campaign. I'm sure that this is something that has your ears perked up right now.
Yeah, great to be on, Owen. Thanks for having me.
So obviously, this news gets out. Politico runs with the story. It makes Drudge, gets red-linked. But he's denying it. He's saying not true. He laughed it off during a presser today. My only inclination here that perhaps this could be a fake news story is that perhaps this was a situation where they were trying to ID a leaker, so they supposedly sent this sort of information down an exact focused pipeline in order to see where it would turn out so that they could ID a leaker. That's the only way I could see this story being false. But what is your intel saying? What are you thinking about this move? Is Ryan going to step down? Do these reports, do you think, maybe stop him from stepping down? Do you believe him when he says he's not going to step down? What are you taking out of this right now?
Well, I don't believe him, and I'll tell you why. Paul Ryan generally does 180 degrees opposite of what he says he's going to do. He's for smaller government. He's for less spending. We've seen no evidence of either of those. He's going to support President Trump. We've seen no evidence of that. And this rumor has been around for over a month now. And I've had some sources from D.C. reaching out to me, telling me that, in fact, this was going to happen. And so we sat on it, figuring, well, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. We're not going to change our ground game. We're not going to change our tactics at all, because we want the nation the way the nation was in 1790. We want a very strong nation state that cares about American citizens first. And Paul Ryan wants open borders. He wants amnesty for DACA recipients. He pushed through the NICS fix, which is Dianne Feinstein and Chuck Schumer gun control legislation on the back of this national reciprocity that we've been trying to get through for years now. So Paul Ryan is not a guy who I trust. And, you know, nobody holds it against him if he wants to go home and spend more time with his family. He's been a career politician. He's been in D.C. for 20 years now. So whether he resigns or whether we take him out in the next election, I've given him 14 months notice to do a debate. And Wisconsin citizens deserve a debate. They deserve to see questions asked of the people that they are willing to hire for this job. And Speaker Ryan has ducked me. He didn't debate me last time. He hasn't debated me yet. 5 months has gone by since I issued my debate challenge to him, and he is ducking me. So we're going to continue doing what we do, Owen, which is work on behalf of Wisconsin citizens. We are going to make sure that we get that wall built. You know, we stopped Trans-Pacific Partnership. We did. With my race, the last time we stopped that terrible trade deal, and Paul Ryan was whipping it. We are going to make no laws that don't apply to Congress or the administration. I want to see the Muslim I want to see the Muslim Brotherhood listed as a terrorist organization. And I don't want to spend any money on importing terrorists into this country. This ridiculous refugee resettlement racket and the diversity lottery. We just saw a second instance of the diversity lottery enriching our nation recently here. So luckily it only enriched the perpetrator of the crime, blew his belly up. So I am absolutely laser focused on Speaker Ryan and his utter undermining of President Trump, of Roy Moore. I was down in Alabama. I just got home late last night from Alabama, stumping for Roy Moore. And I'll tell you, this is the thing about Paul Ryan and Roy Moore. Paul Ryan says, look, I got all this legislation passed, right? It's all leaning up against the Senate building right now. So what does Paul Ryan do? Does he try to get a good conservative who's going to help him get that legislation that means so much to him? No, he gets a liberal Democrat who's hell-bent on abortion elected, helps to get that guy elected, and now there's no chance of Paul Ryan's legislation that he was so concerned about leaning up against the wall of the Senate building. So it's clear to me Paul Ryan is trying to undermine President Trump. That's his role right now. He is the elected version of Mitt Romney. That's Paul Ryan.
Well, and the other weird thing, I guess, that could be coming out, because Ann Coulter tweeted out when she saw the news about the rumors, if you will, I guess you could still consider them rumors, about Paul Ryan stepping aside. She was like, that's the power of Paul Nehlen. Like, You know, he's so afraid of running a losing campaign that he'd rather step aside than try to challenge you. But then another thought came to my head, and this is why I think why your laser focus is so important, is maybe he's trying to stop some of your momentum. Maybe he thinks he can put a bug in your campaign's head that says, oh, maybe we're not going to have to go up against Speaker Ryan. Maybe we can pull the throttle back a little bit. So I'm not really sure, but apparently you've known about these rumors for a while now, which kind of makes sense. You know, a lot of times they'll sit on these stories for some time until it makes more timely sense to come out. But yeah, it really shows you when McConnell and Ryan would rather put in somebody that's going to hurt the agenda and stop them from passing legislation that their constituency gave them a referendum and a mandate to do. It really just shows you where their political loyalties lie. It's not to their voters. It's not to their party. It's not even to their policies. It's to whatever the political correct liberal media says.
That's right. And look, I call this guy late term Jones. Is he going to help us build a wall? Nope. Is he going to help us deport the DACA recipients and their parents? Nope. Is he going to help us put in a conservative Supreme Court justice? Nope. None of the things that we want done is late-term Jones going to do for us. And Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell, they ought to step down in shame because they are the ones that helped put him there. They're the ones who undermined President Trump, and they undermined their own constituents by basically campaigning and undermining, suppressing the vote of more voters. I mean, it's not surprising that Judge Roy Moore, not only was he fighting against the Democrat Party, he was fighting against the Republican establishment, and he was fighting against the media. I mean, that is, for him to come that close fighting all of those people just shows what an amazingly strong candidate he was. Amazingly strong.
Well, and he's still yet to concede. And if the military votes or whatever uncounted votes they have left bring it within I think it's either 0.5% or 1% clip, then legally the government has to pay for a recount. I'm not sure if that's going to come down. The president did send an executive order out that said now there's a new commission via the president to maintain election integrity. So I'm not sure when that kicks in or how that kicks in. Because I think there was some funny business going on down there, but we don't need to go down to that road. In fact, on the other side, we're about to go to break here with Paul Nealon. On the other side, Paul's running around. He's doing broadcasts. He was just in Alabama last night. This is the kind of people we need in office, people with high energy that are putting it all on the line for this country's sovereignty and for nationalism. Twitter is about to change their terms of service. Paul has already been dealing with censorship on Facebook and Twitter and social media, just like we deal with here at InfoWars. You know about that. So we're going to get into a little bit of that on the other side with Paul Nealon. Don't go anywhere. This is The War Room. And folks, they're trying to censor everything and anything that is pro-American, pro-conservative, pro-truth. That's why we need your support at InfoWarsStore.com. You know, it's just, it's, I don't even know the words to describe being in this situation right now. Humbling, providential, destiny. I mean, for all of these patriots to be teaming up right now, and see, this is what the opposition doesn't understand. For us, it's not about your personal lifestyle. It's not about what skeletons you have in your closet. It's not about what your skin color or beliefs are. That's you. That you have the right. You can be a free individual. We are all about independence. It's not about that. See, we are looking for people that just want to put America first. We're sick of politicians that sell this country down the drain, sell our media down the drain, just take a dump on everything that made this country great to try to make us back down into the middle of the world order. No, No, damn it. This is the greatest country in the history of the world, and we belong at the top. And there's a reason why the rest of the world is trying to catch up with us. So it's just great. And it's not just about, it's just about people all over the world standing up for truth, standing up for nationalism, and who are now becoming aware to corrupt politicians, corrupt politics, and a secret shadow government that is trying to create a one world government. And they use the apparatus of socialism and the construct of communism with their social justice virtue signaling to bring it all upon us. And we're just not buying it. So that's why it's so cool to have Paul Neelan on and just have everybody now running for Congress, running for office, fighting back against the censorship, standing up for America, not afraid of the PC culture. So, Paul, what we're dealing with now, though, is the powers that be trying to silence us and pretend we don't exist. And you're now looking at the new Twitter terms of service that are about to come out. And you're thinking this is their next step, their next plan to just do a straight up purge of people they disagree with on Twitter. Is that what you're understanding?
Yeah, absolutely. In Europe, they have a law that says you have to have 30 days before TOS can take effect. We're 4 days away from that. In 4 days, we're projecting that there is going to start to be an absolute purge on Twitter. We know Facebook has said they're hiring thousands of people. YouTube's hiring thousands of people for the purpose of squelching Americans' lawful speech. That's unacceptable. And I've heard this argument from the libertarians, and it's a ridiculous argument. They're saying, well, you can't tell a private company what to do. Look, what we're telling a private company is they can't mess with their users. Lawful speech is lawful speech. And here's the issue that we're running up against. These companies enjoy the CDA protection, Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act, the last law that was really written that deals with this in 1996, before the advent of social media, says that if I post something on InfoWars in one of the discussion forums, which I do, I can't be, InfoWars can't be held legally responsible for it. So they get protection from the government. They also enjoy network effects. They enjoy the network effects of having this, you know, it becomes more, more robust as the network becomes larger. So consequently, suggesting that, well, you know, another group is just going to come in and immediately take them over. That's not going to be the case. Once you get to that size, you basically box everybody else out. And we're not saying that, hey, Twitter's bad from a functionality standpoint. You know, Twitter and Gab can continue to battle it out in the marketplace. Twitter can use whatever tools they want. Gab can use whatever tools they want. Facebook and YouTube. What we're saying is you cannot stifle legal speech. You can't throttle it back. You can't shadow ban people, which essentially means if I post something, I see it out there, but you don't see it out there. So you get discouraged because you think nobody's interacting with you. Well, nobody's interacting with you because your idea might be great, but they're not letting anybody see it. They're taking down videos on Facebook and YouTube now. They're demonetizing people on YouTube and preventing boosting of posts. Now, I think that if the American public saw what these companies were doing in terms of falsely boosting the trending algorithms, throttling back users or boosting users.
And this isn't, you're not just saying this. This is actually true. Like, this has all been caught and documented.
That's right. And so here's the thing. We've won in the political sphere in large part, right? So we got Donald Trump elected, and these guys realize that if this happens again, they're not going to get rid of Trump. And so they're going to try to purge us from basically the public sphere. And so we are not going to allow them to do that. We are pushing forward that all of these social media platforms must adhere to a shall not censor lawful speech. Now, we're not suggesting that people can put child pedo stuff out there You can't put explicit things. There's a place for people to put, if YouTube doesn't want to have explicit pornography, well, there's sites for explicit pornography that's legal. And so what we want is for conservatives to have the same freedoms as liberals have. And since 1964, I'll remind all of your audience here, we've had the Civil Rights Act in place. So you can't say, well, I don't want this black guy to come eat at my restaurant. I don't want this Asian person to come into my business. That's not the case, right? We have been integrated, and it's worked out fairly well. And now what we're saying is we're going to integrate all of the conservatives, all of the right-leaning media and citizens, legal citizens of this country who enjoy First Amendment protections. We're going to extend those First Amendment protections onto social media companies. We're not running the companies. We're simply saying if you censor an American citizen and their lawful speech, you're going to pay $500,000 fine on it.
Well, but let's be clear here too, because this is about, I'm kind of on the fence here, where part of me says, yes, Twitter can do this. And part of me says, no, but here's the difference to me. Twitter acts like they're for free speech. So they want to pretend like everything and anything as far as, you know, legal, not violent opinions go. But we know that that's not true. We've seen the effects. But really the true crime here to me is that you've got essentially, I thought this is why we had antitrust laws. So yes, if Twitter wants to be Twitter and not let conservatives on their platform, okay, well, maybe then, maybe perhaps that's legal. However, when you have Twitter working with Google, working with Facebook, working with Apple, and so now when competition comes up to arrive against Twitter in the form of Gab, what do all of them do in collusion? Well, guess what? I can't get Gab on my Android. I can't get Gab on my iPhone. In fact, Gab doesn't even exist in the App Store now. Oh, it's only, so there to me is where now it's like, okay, you're working, that's antitrust when you're working against competition by colluding.
Yeah. You know, I'm on Gab, I'm on Twitter, I'm on Facebook and YouTube and Reddit and all of those platforms. I get my message out everywhere. The point of this, though, is that we're not telling those companies how they have to operate. All we're saying is, no, look, I guess the point is this. No, when Owen Schroyer posts on Facebook, nobody attributes that to Facebook, the company, right? It's Owen's intellectual property. And if you are kicked off or you are embargoed, if you're put in a timeout or a ban situation, nobody can get to your stuff. And if they kick you off, you lose your own intellectual property. And we're saying that is wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's acceptable.
And that's actually happening to people. Paul Nealon, find him, electnealon.com. We need to elect patriots to office, folks. Electnealon.com. Paul, thank you so much for joining us today.
God bless. Merry Christmas.
There goes Paul Nealon, folks, and he is working around the clock to win this office. He is not just going here and twist and tweeting and all this stuff. He is going around the clock, traveling and trying to get elected to make America great again. We're about to go to break here, folks. We need your support. You know they're going to come after us with this censorship. They're going to try to shut us down, erase us from all the social media, which, all right. I mean, if that's the battle they're going to take, that's why we need your support. They can't shut us down on our own platform. That's why we need you to go to our platform and support us. Infowarsstore.com. It's Christmas week. It's Christmas week at Infowarsstore.com. It's like 50% off half the store. You got free shipping. Take advantage of Christmas week at Infowarsstore.com.
I said the joint was rocking, going round and round, yeah, reeling and rocking, what a crazy sound. And they never stopped rocking till the moon went down.
You're listening to the sworn enemy of fake news. It's the War Room with Roger Stone at Infowars.com/show.
Welcome to the War Room. I'm your co-host, Roger Stone, with my well-dressed and turned-out colleague, Owen Schroyer. A little nostalgia there, a song written by the late, great Chuck Berry and recorded by the Rolling Stones in 1965. An extraordinary day across the board with news that Paul Ryan is reportedly going to step down after delivering a tax cut bill that, while it cuts the fundamental rates, a strong, strong argument for passage, it is also larded up with sweeteners for Wall Street. So it is my view that Ryan, already under pressure, because we have learned that he knew that the Awan brothers, the two Pakistani IT consultants hired by Congresswoman Deborah Wasserman Schultz, had penetrated the U.S. House of Representatives computer system as early as September. But he concealed that information from the American people until after the election. My sources also tell me that Ryan was fully aware of hedge fund operator Paul Singer, a liberal Republican's, financing of the first iteration of the so-called dirty dossier, the phony dossier, which falsely accused candidate Donald Trump of sexual shenanigans with prostitutes in his Moscow hotel room. We now know that to be entirely false. So under pressure in both of those scandals, I believe that the report by Politico is accurate, and despite his prevarications today, that Ryan will be stepping down. Interestingly enough, we also had a major development today in which a British court in the United Kingdom, a high court, ruled that WikiLeaks is a news organization, rejecting the argument that WikiLeaks is somehow a front for the Russian government. This is going to make the efforts to this is going to make the efforts by the CIA, there it is, to extradite Assange all the more difficult. Interestingly enough, also on this day, it was announced that Randy Credico, the former host at WBAI, who had, I believe it was, four extraordinary interviews with Julian Assange of WikiLeaks, unfortunately, I was compelled to tell the House Intelligence Committee that Credico was my confirming source, the journalist, who was able to ascertain the accuracy of a July 21st speech by Assange in which he said he had Clinton emails and he would publish them. Credico has elected to take the Fifth Amendment and refuse to testify for the House Intelligence Committee, viewing their proceeding as what it is, a witch hunt. Big breaking news across the board here with implications for the efforts to paint Assange as a foreign agent, which he is not. We have a lot more for you coming up on the War Room. I'm Roger Stone, Owen Schroyer, my co-host, and we'll be right back.
Is
place. It's the War Room with my co-host Owen Schroyer, and we're kicking globalist tail here at InfoWars. A great time to remind you of our extraordinary Christmas week specials at the InfoWars store. This is the perfect place to shop for the liberty-oriented patriots in your circle of friends and family, and extraordinary sales going on now for the Christmas holidays. My particular favorite, the entire Super Blue fluoride-free line of oral products, including their incredible toothpaste, available in two flavors. The younger people in my family prefer the bubble gum flavor. Others prefer the original, but now 50% off on these terrific products. Help us help you, help finance the revolution, help us continue this extraordinary expansion, which Alex Jones has mapped out. Last time I was in Austin, I saw the incredible state-of-the-art new studios that are being constructed, and we don't want to slow down in our efforts to bring you even better and more coverage of the American political scene. So please, folks, go to the InfoWars store for all your Christmas shopping. You know, one of Stone's rules is that a man is known by the enemies he makes. Incredibly, some of you may know that Donald Trump and I are being sued in the courts in the District of Columbia on the phony allegation that I worked with the Russians to hack the Democratic National Committee and give the email that were the fruits of this alleged hack to WikiLeaks. Well, now, incredibly, 14 former national intelligence officials, including John Brennan, Jim Clapper, and Mike Hayden, three certified members of the Shaved Head Club, have come forward in filing an amicus brief in that phony lawsuit, continuing their phony claim that the Russians interceded and interfered and affected the outcome of the 2016 election. This is just as bogus as they are. But one has to wonder why men of this incredible stature are intervening in this lawsuit. My lawyers remind me that my past due legal bills are mounting to fight this frivolous harassment suit. The Project for Democracy, an Obama-blessed left-wing front group, is using the suit against the president and I to raise money. If you want to give a Christmas present to the Stone household, you can go to stonedefensefund.com. That's stonedefensefund.com and help. We have a roughly $500,000 legal bill, but I refuse to fold. I refuse to quit fighting. And now that Brennan, the proven perjurer, the liar Clapper, who told the Congress under oath, oh no, there's no American metadata collection system, only to be proved to be a liar by Edward Snowden. And of course, Mike Hayden in this cross-section of villains, they want to get it on. So I am ready to fight, but I need your help to do it. So this Christmas season, go to the InfoWars store, go to stonedefensefund.com and give us the help we need. Owen, it's an extraordinary day in the Stone household.
Well, Roger, when I saw this, obviously they want to shut us up. And so I think the reason why they're taking this next step right now with this lawsuit and signing the big names with this brief with the Clappers and the Brennans and the Haydens is the truth that's coming out about the Russian, the dossier, the investigation, the committee, everything. It's so big, it's so breaking, it's so bombshell to everything that they've been saying and trying to do for the last year, that this to me is their last desperate attempt to try to call us off reporting on it. They think that, and as you just said, you're not afraid, you're not going to stop reporting on it. That was their goal here. I really think that they thought that they could make you submit, make InfoWars submit, make everyone submit, because they're going to try to come after us here. But the truth of the matter is, even if they shut us down, even if they shut Roger Stone down, you can't stop this truth from getting out. Everybody knows what you did with this Russian dossier. These people are the phonies, Roger.
No, I think you're exactly right. If this was meant to silence me, it has the opposite effect. They don't seem to know that my mother was Sicilian. I will never stop fighting the deep state. And my lawyers have reviewed their amicus brief. Oh, and once again, they offer no proof. It's the same old crap over and over again. The Russians did it. The Russians right. did it. They have no evidence whatsoever. Oh, the Russians used, as Comey said under oath, some kind of cutout. Sounds pretty bogus to me. Julian Assange is a journalist. WikiLeaks is a news organization. They do the same thing that the Washington Post and the New York Times do. They obtain information and they publish it. The difference between WikiLeaks and Assange and the New York Times and the Washington Post is nothing Assange has ever published has been questioned in terms of its authenticity or its accuracy. My liberal friends loved WikiLeaks when it was George W. Bush's administration they were busting, but now, suddenly, they're a Russian asset. It's the same old deep state baloney.
Well, what infuriates me so much about this, Roger, and I can only imagine how you feel, obviously, they're trying to indict, you know, via this brief, basically InfoWars and really anyone who supported Trump. I mean, in their exact words, nationalists, militias, activists, journalists unwittingly became Russian agents. So they're blaming all Trump supporters essentially for this. But this is what really rubs me the wrong way, Roger. The lawsuit, by my understanding, filed by the three private citizens, I won't give their personal names out as public information, but I won't do that, are saying they want to sue because their personal information got stolen because of the hack of the DNC. But Roger, here's the problem. This is why I don't think they want this to go to court. This is just an intimidation and a news spin tactic. Roger, if this thing went to court, the Democrat National Committee is not going to be able to hold those servers anymore. They're going to have to turn their servers over. That's something that they've avoided throughout this entire thing. How conveniently. The very evidence that would show their claims to be true or false, they won't show you. So if this went to court, they would actually have to turn that over for the first time. That is, if they haven't destroyed them already.
No, Owen, I think that's exactly right. So I think understanding that the congressional inquiry into Russian collusion has come up completely empty, this lawsuit was filed as a fishing expedition. But you're right, it will now boomerang on them. Should we go to trial, it will be incumbent on them to prove that the DNC was hacked and that I had something to do with it, which, of course, I didn't. The whole thing is fraudulent, but it's an intimidation tactic. I can tell you this about Alex Jones, myself, InfoWars. We will not be intimidated, not even an iota of a chance. We will fight to the death to preserve our liberty and support and preserve constitutional government. I'm not going to be run over by the deep state steamroller. That I can assure you. But I must tell you, going to your mailbox and getting an invoice from your lawyers for $500,000 can be a riveting experience, to say the least.
And these are the type of attacks that we come under every day here, folks. Honestly, you wouldn't even believe that stuff of the type of attacks that come here, that come at Roger, that come at Alex Jones. It's nonstop, and it's all an attempt to shut us down. And that's why your support at InfoWarsStore.com is paramount. So don't let the deep state shut us down. Continue to support us at InfoWarsStore.com, and we will continue to expand. And you have our pledge that we will never back down from these anti-American corrupt establishments that are lying to us about President Trump.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space. And when you're out there.
Welcome back to the War Room with your hosts, Roger Stone and Owen Schroyer. We are clearly now turning the corner, and the forces of freedom, the forces of truth, have had an extraordinary 2 weeks as the so-called Mueller investigation begins to disintegrate before our very eyes, and the naked partisanship and the bias of the Get Trump squad is revealed to all. A stunning new poll by the Harvard and Harris organizations reveal that 54% of Americans believe that the Mueller investigation is biased against the president. That's an extraordinary statistic, particularly when you consider that at least a half, if not more, of the mainstream media continue to try to maintain the fiction of Russian collusion. The performance by Rod Rosenstein, longtime Mueller and Comey protege, a man who got his first job as an attorney from Mueller, was a sight to behold. Rosenstein bobbed and weaved like nothing I've ever seen. When asked directly if he could see the grounds for the firing of Mueller, he said, and I quote, "I don't see it." This guy has all the acuity of Stevie Wonder. It's abundantly clear based on the texts, based on the contributions, based on the leaked emails, that this is a nakedly partisan takedown of the president. Now, yesterday, there was a story in Vanity Fair, which had an unfortunate headline. I am working on collecting material for a book about the deep state's impending attempted takedown of the president in an illegitimate coup. I never said that I was writing a book about the downfall of the president. It's not certain that they will take him down. Donald Trump can certainly still save himself merely by appointing directing the attorney general to appoint a special counsel in the matter of Uranium One. So this is a book I am hoping I don't ever have to write. But given all of the developments in the last few weeks, I am going to memorialize what is the most extraordinary coup attempt since 1963 and 1974. The working title for such a book is The Unmaking of the President. If you want to get the precursor, you can go right now to the InfoWars store and order my book, The Making of the President 2016, the extraordinary story of how Donald Trump pulled off the greatest upset in American political history. A terrific price on this book right now, a savings of $5, only $19.95. If you're a political junkie and you want to know how Donald Trump pulled off his come-from-behind victory and shocked the two-party political establishment, this book is a must-read. Also in the book, we memorialize the important role that InfoWars played in as the tip of the spear, particularly in the nomination phase, and how Alex Jones ingeniously took the iconic Bill Clinton rape t-shirt and used it as a metaphor to bust up the mainstream media blackout of Bill Clinton's record as a sexual harasser and rapist. You may recall in an ingenious stroke that Alex Jones personally put up $1,000 to anyone who could be depicted on television wearing the t-shirt, and $5,000 to anyone who managed to blurt out Bill Clinton is a rapist. Folks, Alex Jones paid out over $250,000 to courageous patriots who helped drive the truth message about Bill Clinton. You can get this iconic t-shirt, which will end up in the Smithsonian, folks, now at the InfoWars store. When these run out, there will be no more. This is a collector's item that you will want to have this Christmas. So, folks, help us, help yourself, and help spread the truth about the Clinton crime family. So, Owen, it is so fast-breaking the way the entire Mueller thing is disintegrating before our very eyes. And I think some kudos must go to the people at Judicial Watch who've done a superb job of using the courts to ferret out the truth about the Mueller investigation. But a reporter for CNN told me today that the Justice Department has been putting out these emails and has allowed the members of the media to examine texts and emails and other pieces of evidence which point to the naked partisan nature of the Mueller probe. If this is true, it would be the first thing that the Trump Justice Department has done to actually help Donald Trump. Now, the president's lawyers have very clearly told him that he's not allowed and it's not proper for him to give direction to the Justice Department. That's false. The Justice Department is an expansion of the executive branch, where the president has full authority. Now, it would be improper for him to give the Justice Department instructions pertaining to investigations of Donald Trump himself. But in the matter of Uranium One, a treasonous multi-million dollar crime, the president is under no such restriction. The way to bring down the Mueller, Comey, McCabe, Rosenstein conspiracy is to get an honest prosecutor to pursue the matter of Uranium One. I really think that this is the best path for the president.
Well, and when you're talking about all of this news that's coming out with Judicial Watch, you know, I had this thought last night, Roger, especially when it kind of resurfaced when I see that these ex-intelligence officials want to sue Roger Stone. Intelligence officials. I had this thought last night. You know, the quote-unquote intelligence community, or, you know, this is what they like to say. We are the new intelligence community. InfoWars is the new intelligence community. Roger Stone, Alex Jones, Tom Fitton, Judicial Watch, Sarah Carter, Circa News. I mean, even people now on, I have to give Fox News credit. They're not perfect. They still blackball people from going on air and stories, but still, Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity. I mean, this is the new intelligence agency. The new intelligence agency is actually just citizens. The new intelligence agency is just patriots who do the deep research, who read the WikiLeaks, who follow Project Veritas. That's the new intelligence agency. Brennan, Clapper, and all of these former quote-unquote intelligence officials, that's the non-intelligence community. That's the secret intelligence community. That's the keep-you-ignorant intelligence community. We are the new intel community.
This is the return
of the Republic.
And this is the War Room with Roger Stone.
Watch the live stream
right now at Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back. You're at the War Room, my fellow Americans, and any of those who are watching us internationally. We do want to squeeze in a few of your calls here for either Owen or myself or both of us. And that number is 1-888-201-2244. 1-888-201-2244. This is one of my favorite parts of the War Room when we get to have a dialogue with the Info Warriors, and we have a little bit of time today for calls. So please go right to the phone and phone in your inquiry now. We'd be happy to take some of your questions. Owen, where do you think the Mueller investigation is headed? Because I am one who believes that the president's lawyers are giving him happy talk, that they are lulling him into a false sense of security. Only last night, the president told an acquaintance of mine, a friend of mine, that he expects a letter from Mueller clearing him entirely in the Russian collusion matter imminently. As an observer of the political scene and a student of the deep state, I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, Roger, I'm not sure where the Mueller investigation really goes from here, because I don't think there's anywhere else they can go. They've got the three indictments, or they've got the three people, the names that we knew that they had. Flynn, Papadopoulos, Manafort, we knew that was coming. That's what they ended up doing. But what were the path that it's almost kind of blazed a trail of its own here, where here this probe, this committee, whatever you want to call it, special counsel, was supposed to be looking into Trump's corruption, looking into the Russia thing and all that. Well, it's turned up nothing as far as that's concerned. But what have we learned? We've learned about the collusion between the FBI and the DOJ and the Obama administration. And we learned now, Roger, this is about to be huge. So what the latest information that's coming out because of the Russian probe is that Peter Strzok and James Comey both actively worked to make sure that Hillary Clinton was not charged and indicted. Now, how did they do that? Well, first you had James Comey say, well, actually, I think it was Loretta Lynch who said this is a matter, not an investigation. Then you had Peter Strzok change the terminology from grossly negligent, which is illegal. That's a chargeable offense, to carelessly mishandled or something. Then you have James Comey changing the terminology about going in to investigate the emails. That came out during the Comey testimonies. Now it's all kind of being put together with what we're learning about Strzok, what we're learning about the DOJ, what we're learning about the Obama administration and Comey. I mean, this is the real collusion. And it's what's amazing about this, Roger, because it appears the entire thing was all about Hillary Clinton. It was all about getting Hillary elected and protecting Hillary Clinton from prison for all the illegality of her private server. That's the most amazing thing about this.
Yeah, it's an open and shut case of obstruction. Wasn't it Mick Jagger who said every cop is a criminal? What happened to the days when we admired the FBI and we viewed them as an example of public integrity, and we admired the courage and the patriotism and the honesty of the G-men? That has all entirely been sullied under Mr. Mueller and then Mr. Comey. Sadly, the FBI has been politicized, and now it's there in black and white for everyone to see. It is an extraordinary turn of events, but the forces of truth are on the move. When 54% of the American people can see that the Mueller investigation is corrupted and nakedly partisan, that is itself shows you where this is headed. I don't believe that the president's going to be cleared. I still believe that Mueller will attempt to bring some kind of a trumped up a process crime against the president, perjury or obstruction of justice. But I'm growingly confident that the American people will see through this incredible charade and see what this is, a naked attempt to undo the results of the last presidential election. The two-party duopoly that have run this country into the ground are still reeling from the fact that Donald Trump, a complete outsider, a man of enormous courage and bravery, a man who is both unbought and unbullied, a man you just can't push around, broke through and utilized alternative media to pull off the greatest upset in American history. They want to undo what they couldn't do at the ballot box. And as I have said here and in multiple interviews this week, if Mueller shoots and misses, well, then we're back to plan B. The establishment plans a 25th Amendment coup against the president. That's why your friend Don Lamone and Joe Scarborough and others keep harping on this absurd notion that the president's crazy. He's unstable. He's mentally unfit. Well, he's the same man I've known for 40 years. He's sharp as a tack. He has not lost a step. He was a brilliant businessman, and he is doing a phenomenal job of making America great again, despite the implacable resistance of the two-party elites in Washington. Now, many people believe that a 25th Amendment move on the president would require a secret deal between the vice president and Paul Ryan. You see, if Trump were bumped out of the office and the vice president, Mike Pence, were to rise to the presidency, he gets to appoint a vice president, subject to confirmation by the U.S. Senate. Has he made a deal with Paul Ryan, as some believe? At this point, anything is possible. When I learned that Ryan knew all about the incursion by the Awan brothers, the two Pakistani IT consultants, into the House of Representatives computer system, where they stole $16 million and they obtained the email traffic of 45 members of Congress, and Ryan withheld that information from the American people until after the election, well, now I believe Paul Ryan is capable of anything.
Well, here's the thing, Roger, to me, the way that this whole thing has gone, and if I just go with the patterns and trends of everything we've seen in the past, and we're going to take your calls on the other side of this break, Trump's year anniversary in office is, I think it's January 18th, is his year anniversary as president. He promised Alex Jones give him 1 year. I have a feeling that with everything we've seen in the past couple of weeks, exposing the FBI, exposing Strzok, exposing Mueller, exposing his whole team, exposing McCabe, they've all been exposed on the back end as kind of a sub-exposition of Hillary Clinton and her emails and everything they did to cover that up to get her into office. I mean, that's the thing. That's really what happened here. Cover up Hillary Clinton's crimes to get Hillary Clinton into office and then cement any investigation over that would have been done into those crimes. Well, now it's all been brought to the public eye, whether wittingly or unwittingly, by Trump and this Mueller investigation, and it can't be put back in the bottle. This genie's not going back in the bottle. The Super Blue fluoride free toothpaste is not going back in the bottle. And I really think, Roger, I'm really to a point now, I'm more confident than ever that by Trump's year anniversary in office, there is going to be a major pendulum shift back on to the corrupt Democrats that they simply do not see coming. So we take a break now. This is the War Room. Roger Stone takes your phone calls on the other side. Don't go anywhere, and please support us at InfoWarsStore.com. It's Christmas week. Big specials.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Welcome back to the War Room. It is the most wonderful time of the year. Not just Christmas, but the Democrats are being totally exposed as the frauds and the partisans that they are. Let's go to the phone lines here. Roger Stone is still with us. Your questions and calls for Roger Stone at 888-201-2244. Let's start with Eric calling in from Florida. Eric, you're on the air with Roger Stone.
Hey, Roger, how you doing? Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Eric.
Oh, okay, yeah. Hey, I just wanted to make a comment, you know, that the rephrasing from, like, the criminal to, well, grossly negligent to excessively careless. There's some footage out there. It was Judge Neela Padano, if that's pronounced right. It had to have been like on the Fox channel. And he said that there is no difference between those two phrases. So I don't know if it can be found, if that's something to use. But hey,
well,
Merry
I will
Christmas,
tell you that
guys.
If I don't know of the report that you're referencing, but I can tell you if it was Fox, they've completely changed 180 on that. Roger, what are you hearing about the phrasing?
No, the caller's absolutely right. Judge Napolitano made the case that Hillary could have been prosecuted for negligence. That was still a prosecutable crime. So this attempt to soften it was clearly just an attempt to get her off the hook and get through the election. The reason that all of these FBI agents and other Department of Justice officials were using their official emails and their telephones to exchange these incriminating messages because they were confident that Hillary would win and they'd be able to cover it all up. Guess what? It's all coming out now. Thank you so much for your call, Eric. Let's go to our next caller.
Next caller is going to be Robert in Washington, the state of Washington. Go ahead, Robert.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I just have a couple requests. One, I don't know if you guys have seen the new Trumpo movie, short little clip that's out. I think it would be awesome to play that on the back screen behind Owen. It's hilarious. Number two, an idea for a shirt would be the Clinton body count. I saw a picture today on the internet that had all the names of all the people supposedly killed by the Clintons or had something to do with them. And you guys do an awesome job. I got to get into a meeting. Love your guys' show. And if you could pass the word on to Alex, he needs to play The Highwaymen, Raised in Black and White. The lyrics say it all. It's a great song. He always plays The Highwaymen. I love the show. You guys do a great job. And have a great Christmas, you guys. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you, Robert. What do you think, Roger? How about a Clinton body count shirt? You've already got the Clinton, Bill Clinton rape shirt. Why not double down?
Well, I like the idea. The problem is it would have to always be an extra, extra large shirt to get all the names in.
That's true. Otherwise, we'll have to make the font so small you can't even read the names. It'll be like the fine print.
It'd be like the telephone book for Greater Austin. Look. The video I think that the caller refers to is this hysterical Talking Heads parody featuring Donald Trump. It's extremely well put together. I don't think it was meant as a pro-Trump meme, but it's most entertaining. Perhaps we can show it on the War Room tomorrow evening. Let's go back to the phones.
Yeah, let's take another call. Let's go to Tyler calling in from Maryland. Go ahead, Tyler.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Excellent.
First off, I just want to say I've been watching your show for about a year and a half now, and I just wanted to thank you guys for kind of waking me up. I was never really politically active for most of my life until I got into college, and then I kind of realized when I started watching your show, I always hear, oh, you know, InfoWars is terrible, you know, InfoWars is garbage. So I was like, okay, you know, I'll watch it, you know, see what it's about. And then I kind of learned about the whole anti-white agenda. Globalization, how they kind of want to just have a global cesspool, just mix all the races, everything. But yeah, I kind of just wanted to thank you guys for waking me up. I think your content is amazing. But I had one question. I know net neutrality got repealed, and all I've heard constantly is that net neutrality, like repealing net neutrality, is terrible. It should never happen. It just happened today. Can you just kind of explain, you know, what it's about and, you know, what would be the repercussions of repealing it?
I'd be happy to field this one. Look, everything that you're hearing is completely backwards. The current net neutrality regulations only guarantee net neutrality for the ISP carriers. That means Verizon, AT&T, Comcast. They're tightly regulated. They can't deny you access. But the current net neutrality rules in no way regulate the content providers. Facebook, Twitter, Amazon, Google, they can censor anyone they want. They can silence conservative and liberty-oriented voices. We need to guarantee equal access to the content providers. And therefore, the Soros-backed Google funds forces have grabbed our mantra. They're against net neutrality when it comes to content, therefore censorship. The new rules, which have been very boldly put forward by FCC Chairman Ajit Pai, actually guarantee free access and your constitutional protection of First Amendment liberties on the internet. So amen for the FCC. Everything you read about this is, in essence, backwards.
Yeah, and I think Ajit Pai is doing a great job. And for those that are concerned about, you know, they think that this is going to stop potential, I don't even know, just basically corruption of the internet is what these people are freaked out about. Oh, now the internet's going to be corrupted. Oh, and it's like, no. He just wants to make sure it stays free. That's the big difference. The corruption is going to end up being handled by a different department. That's another thing that Ajit Pai is talking about. Let's take another call for Roger Stone here. Let's go to Irene calling in from New Jersey. You're on the air with Roger Stone. Go ahead.
Hi. Hello.
Hi. Hello.
Oh, yes. Hi. How are you? This is Irene. I'm sorry. I wasn't listening for a second. Were you calling me? Were you putting me on?
You're on right now.
You're on, Irene. Okay, what's your question?
Hi, Roger. I wanted to talk to you about this phony council. It's driving me absolutely crazy. I think the only way that we are going to be able to get Mr. Trump out of this is if the people go to bat for him and start calling, you know, the two leaders of the House and demanding that they end this. It's not right, and they're never going to stop until they get rid of the president. It's like them or him, and they know they're all criminals. So they have to get him on anything they can get him on. And if the people don't rise up about this, we got to help them.
Well, Irene, I couldn't agree with you more. And thank God Almighty for Jim Jordan and Ron DeSantis and Matt Gaetz and Trey Gowdy. These guys are truth tellers, and they have been boring in on the entire bias and partisanship of the Mueller effort and the clearly illegitimate attempt to take down our president in some kind of phony coup. Donald Trump is a fighter. He is a fighter, but you're right. He needs our support. So you can call the Capitol switchboard, 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. Call your congressman, your senator today, and demand that this phony investigation be disbanded.
And Irene, let me just say this. I know you had another comment to make, but let me just say this. It'll be a lot harder for them to continue this anti-Trump witch hunt they're calling a special counsel into Russian collusion when a lot of these guys on the team have either lost their jobs or are in jail.
Yeah,
Irene, what was your other comment?
But this is the thing. Those legislative hearings never go anywhere. So I would really hope that you guys and Alex would just remind people every single day to just badger our congressmen to death and tell them we want this stopped. It's not right. And we want the real people actually to go to jail because they let everybody get away all the time. So that's the only thing. I mean, I hope you guys will support that and then just remind people on a daily basis. And, oh, and I think you're great. You know, you're a really brave guy.
Yes, he is.
Thank you for the call.
You're the only one on this show who's had guns pointed at him in the last 10 days. So my hat's off to you, Owen. You're a brave patriot facing down the Antifa thugs single-handedly. In the future, don't go out there alone, okay?
Well, we all have to play our role in this, Roger. Everybody's got to stick their neck out there somewhere. You get sued. You pile up these legal bills. I go out on the street and masked thugs point guns at me and try to intimidate me out of my right to free speech. But we just keep fighting, Roger, and that's what we're going to continue to do. Roger, final words before we sign off till tomorrow, or you sign off.
Yes, absolutely. Folks, please go to the InfoWars store and give us the support we need for our planned expansion so we get a bigger, better war room. God bless you and many thanks. 90 miles an hour, girl, is the
speed I drive. FBI Director Wray agrees with you. He said that the similar thoughts. He said he was a smart lawyer, a dedicated public servant, well-respected within the FBI. I think everybody on the other side of the aisle agreed with you when you appointed him. And everybody in this Judiciary Committee and probably everybody in this Congress agreed with his appointment as FBI director, which was unanimous, his reappointment, which was unanimous by Republican Bush and Democrat Obama. Everybody respects that man in this country. He may be the most respected man in this. Obviously, we knew that would be an exception.
So there is Steve Cohen, a Democrat, who's always making things up, from Tennessee. Everybody respects Mueller. Don't you know he came from Bush and Obama? Don't you see Republican, Democrat? There's Bush and Obama clearly divided on this thing. No, the election of Trump was a complete repudiation of Bush and Obama. Bush and Obama are two legs on the same body politic. Trump was a completely different body politic altogether. This is what the Democrats don't understand yet. Well, they do get it. That's why they're freaking out. And then Louie Gohmert from Texas, my adopted home state of Texas. Louie Gohmert says, no, excuse me, I don't respect Mueller. And no, I don't think he should be doing this investigation. Just, it's just amazing. It's like these Democrats are going to ignore the fact that they have their fingerprints all over this investigation. The Democrats are going to clearly ignore the fact that this is the most partisan hack job of a witch hunt probably ever. I mean, at least when you talk about all the coverage of it. But nonetheless, it's all falling apart. And I really believe by the time Trump's year anniversary comes around, something big is going to happen, folks. Now, let's go to this clip. So the net neutrality meeting happened today. Ajit Pai was leading it. Now, Ajit Pai has been death threatened before on Twitter. Twitter doesn't censor those death threats. Nobody investigates that. And then today, while the meeting was going down, it got interrupted because of a bomb threat. Here is the footage of that when it happened in real time.
On advice of security, we need to take a brief recess.
Everyone, I need everyone to leave everything that you have in place. Do not take anything out of here except for your body. Do not take any bags, any books, or anything. Only thing that leaves out of here is
so there is the police officer on the scene telling everyone to get out immediately, leave your belongings behind, as they're clearing the area because of a bomb threat.
Yeah.
All right, guys, you can pull that down. That's Homeland Security. Thank you. So that was Homeland Security. So, but here's why this is such a story to me, because you already had radical leftists. There's the story on Infowars.com. You already had radical leftists threatening Ajit Pai, death threatening Ajit Pai. Then Ajit Pai is holding the FCC meeting where they're about to roll back these net neutrality Obama era regulations, and there's a bomb threat. So, you know, this is kind of an interesting thing where obviously the death threats he's getting on Twitter, you know, those are probably just low life, average, brainwashed, demented leftists that we see on Twitter and out on the streets. That's one thing. But the bomb threat is a totally different thing. And it really raises a question of my mind. Was this a bomb threat from the same radical, demented leftists that were sending death threats to Ajit Pai on social media? Or is this something bigger? Is this something else? Is this a different entity trying to scare Ajit Pai from rolling back these net neutrality things? Because think about it. This net neutrality thing is huge for the future of the New World Order and the corrupt deep state. They need control over the internet, because the internet is where the real intelligence community is now. Because you're not going to get any intelligence from the government. They're just going to lie to you. So that's why you go on the internet. That's why you follow Donald Trump on Twitter. That's why you go to Infowars.com. That's why you go to Newswars.com. That's why you go to Drudge Report, and et cetera, et cetera. So they wanted net neutrality to shut all of us down. And shut us down, Ajit Pai says, nope, you can't shut them down. And then a bomb threat happens at the very meeting where that goes down. Something fishy about that, folks.
Let's make talk radio great again.
This is the War Room.
Rushing into the studio, here's Darren McBreen sacking the microphone. And we're going to talk some football here, not because we're going to talk football, but what we're actually going to shed some light on here is this is another example of liberalism corrupting an industry and then that industry tanking. And so you've got the NFL, which seemingly was invincible 5-10 years ago, on the up, invincible, cannot stop it, expanding. NFL Network, every game sold out, stadiums always packed, PSLs for tens of thousands of dollars. Just huge, fun, people loved it. The Thanksgiving Day games, Saturday games, let's expand to Thursday games. So it seemed so untouchable, but then what happened? The liberals got their grimy little paws on the NFL. Mm-hmm. Now ratings are tanking, attendance is way down, and people are actually boycotting the league that 10 years ago
seemed
invincible.
They're ruining football. They've ruined football. A lot of experts and a lot of NFL analysts or sports analysts, they say the NFL might not ever recover from this.
Well, they've got a litany of problems now.
This is bad. Well, they're having a rough time filling up the stadiums. The TV ratings are plummeting big time. And check this out. Cincinnati Bengals tickets are down as low as $18 a ticket for some seats. Breitbart.com is reporting that some tickets are selling for less than what it costs to buy a beer or a hot dog.
Yeah, well, that's like a $10 beer.
Well, and what I'm saying is, so even when you see a lot of people in the stands, they're still buying these tickets for dirt cheap. So they're having a rough time. Sales are bad. Like I said, the TV ratings are bad. And this is a crisis moment for the NFL.
Well, I'll be honest, to just talk about what you're talking about, I hope I don't get excoriated too much from our audience here. I did attend a football game on Thanksgiving.
That's right.
I went to the Dallas Cowboys game for Thanksgiving. And me and my buddies that went down there, we purchased the tickets online for, you know, I think right at face value, it was something like $90 or $100 or something, I don't remember. And then we got down to the stadium, scalpers selling tickets, $10.
That's right.
$20. And we were just shocked. I mean, we thought for sure, Cowboys game, Thanksgiving, let's just take the safe route, just get the tickets, not even worry about it. $5-$10 for a ticket walking in? I mean, that was unheard of 5-10 years ago.
But meanwhile, look what's happening to NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell. He's getting a big raise and a contract extension.
I couldn't believe
that. It doesn't make any sense.
He has to have blackmail on these owners.
I don't know, man. I don't know. It is a mystery because we're looking at close to or over $200 million that he's going to get possibly before, what, 2000?
He wanted $50 million a year.
Yeah.
He wanted $50 million a year and access to the NFL jet. Because, you know, when you make hundreds of million dollars, you can't afford your own jet, apparently.
But it doesn't make sense, because if you were an owner of a company and your CEO was basically tanking your business.
Right.
That's what's going on. Because remember, Goodell was the one. He could have stood up and he could have been a real leader when President Donald Trump was the one that started this whole thing when he said publicly that he believes that NFL players should put their hands on their hearts and they should respect the flag, respect the national anthem, and respect our troops. Roger Goodell turned around and he said, that's disrespectful to say about our NFL players, saying that they should do that. You know, so somehow he turned that whole thing that Trump said into disrespecting the NFL players. And a lot of fans, they're not going to like that.
Well, the amazing thing here is, I don't know, I guess the NFL has gone full liberal where there's, you know, it basically like, you know, hold a gun to their head and say, okay, if you enact that policy, you're pulling the trigger.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just like, you know, liberal open borders, you know, just like the same stuff. It's like the same policies, you bring in these policies and you're basically committing suicide. That's basically what the NFL has done, but they don't get it yet. And this is what I was saying. Darren, I worked in the sports industry.
Mm-hmm.
10 years ago, you couldn't. NFL stadiums were sold out,
and I used even to be when a huge the team football sucked. Fan. So we're talking. I was one of the biggest football fans you ever met. I've totally boycotted this as well because I just don't like the way they're behaving. But they've
taken the fun out of it, honestly.
Well, and it's also a double standard because remember back in like it was like around 2012, Tim Tebow. He used to kneel and pray before each game, and if he scored a touchdown, he would kneel and raise his finger up to Jesus, praise Jesus. That's bad. They told him, do not do that. We don't like you doing that.
Yeah, and even though he won a playoff game, you know, he never got a sign, another deal, but nobody made a big deal.
Oh, but nobody made a big deal.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
RG3, he showed up at a press conference wearing a T-shirt that said, or he was about to show up at the press conference wearing a T-shirt that says, no Jesus, no peace. K-N-O-W.
Yeah, like no Jesus.
No Jesus.
Robert Griffin, big religious, big God-fearing man.
Well, the NFL told him, hey, buddy, you before you go into that press conference, turn that T-shirt inside out. And so he did. So there's pictures of him. He's at the press conference. He had to wear that T-shirt inside out. Meanwhile, you've got Colin Kaepernick.
Oh, by the way, another guy who couldn't get re-signed.
Griffin. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, Griffin and Tebow couldn't get re-signed.
Where's the protest on that?
No outrage.
So, and this is just, like I said, a double standard, because then we have Colin Kaepernick, who shows up at a press conference wearing a Fidel Castro T-shirt, socks with pigs dressed up like police officers, but that's okay. So it's a double standard, and, fans don't like it. Their core audience is basically very turned off by this, and the NFL is in serious trouble, man. I'm telling you what. Like I said, there's a lot of analysts out there who don't believe they're ever going to recover from this, and I think they might be right.
Well, they've got a couple of issues right now, and the biggest issue is their own liberalism. That's mm-hmm. their biggest issue. That can be fixed like that. The NFL can make a change on that real easily, and they can invoke patriotism, and I think they can recover a lot of the fans that they've lost there.
Mm-hmm.
The back end that they're going to have here, people are sick of Roger Goodell,
mm-hmm.
and if you continue to politicize the game, people are going to continue to tune out. But they're also doing things like, for example, if you look at what they did, this is again why I don't understand how Roger Goodell continues to maintain his highly paid position, where he's now gotten a raise essentially of $20 million a year since he became commissioner.
Least popular commissioner of all time.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody likes this.
But look at the L.A. debacle. I mean, you had possibly the biggest game of the NFL season between two of the best teams, the Eagles and the Rams, and the L.A. Coliseum wasn't even 50% filled up.
Mm-hmm.
I remember,
again, TV ratings were horrible, too.
And I remember, again, as a kid, I grew up in St. Louis cheering for the Rams. For most of my life, the Rams sucked. Mm-hmm. The Rams weren't that good. They had one run where they won the Super Bowl, and they were a really good team. But for most of my life, the Rams sucked. Still, 50,000, 60,000 people at every game. It was an NFL game. It was just part of the culture, part of the tradition. You go down, you tailgate, you go watch some football. You know, that was part. But now, nobody does it. Nobody wants to do it. The stadiums are empty. Cincinnati, perfect example. Even when they sucked, always sold out. Now, nobody wants to go.
Well, you can also tell by the way these guys act, the ones who are kneeling and the ones who are protesting the national anthem. Look at their behavior on and off the field. In fact, we have a video clip we're going to play here in a second. But it was Martin Luther King who says you should judge people not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their what? Their character. And FDR, he said that we should always be aware of the character of the onslaught against us. Check out the character of some of these players. First, we're going to show a clip. Marshawn Lynch, he gets he actually grabs a referee by the shirt, and he gets kicked out of the game. And then we got another player, Quentin Jefferson. This is a guy who almost went into the stands and tried to pick a fight in the stands. Check this out.
The big one, though, is Lynch right here. He's going to get tossed, I bet.
That player has been disqualified.
The Seattle Times reports defensive end Quentin Jefferson was ejected for fighting Jaguars players. On his way off the field, Jefferson got into a verbal altercation with Jacksonville fans. Fans then hurled beer at Jefferson, who then muscled away from security to climb the barrier, attempting to get into the stands. Jefferson was ultimately restrained and made his way to the locker room.
Now he's been ejected. He should be headed to the locker room.
And you know what this exhibits to me, Darren, is that, and it's understandable. I mean, the NFL did get so big. It's understandable, but there's a sort of invincibility complex where they think they're bigger than everyone else.
And they've gotten that from high school to college. A lot of these players, they basically feel that they're invincible.
But it didn't used to be that way. Are you kidding me? Players walk into the locker room getting food thrown at them? That's like, yeah, you walk through the locker room, dude. Like, that's part of it. We'll be right back with more of this and Darren McBrain. Back to the War Room show. Darren McBrain is with me in studio. We're talking about how liberalism pretty much just destroys anything that embraces it. And the latest example, at least in the sports world, would have to be the NFL. And it's really more of a catering to political correctness than I think we give it credit for. Because honestly, from my experience working in professional sports, NHL, MLB, NHL, whatever you have it, there's a lot of patriots.
Most of them are patriots. Most of the fans are patriots, but you nailed it. They're catering. They're being politically correct. They're afraid. Somebody's they're going to get mad at
me. We don't want to offend anyone.
Walking on eggshells. You know, we were talking about Marshawn Lynch. Earlier this year, the Raiders played in Mexico, and Marshawn Lynch refused to stand for the U.S. national anthem. He sat it out. But then when they played Mexico's national anthem, he went and stood up.
Yeah.
Now, think about that. They're supposed to be protesting police brutality and how black people are racially profiled. Imagine that. You know, we all know how the cops treat people in Mexico. Not too good. You know, so he's really kind of a dumbass, Marshawn Lynch. And he's walking around wearing a jersey that says, "Everyone against Trump." That's how he shows up to these football games, sagging underwear. You know, you just see his underwear.
His butt's out.
So he's got to use one hand to hold his pants up because his pants will fall down.
Well,
meanwhile, you got Kaepernick hanging out with Linda Sarsour. Sarsour, how do you say her
name? Cockroach is how it's pronounced.
Oh, it's dung beetle Sarsour. That's it.
Yeah.
But so it's getting out of control. People are upset about this. They're turned off by it, and they're turning off their television sets and not attending the football games as a result.
And, you know, there's another sad aspect about this, and a study came out. I don't remember out of where, but essentially, and you can understand the pattern here, is a lot of these professional athletes they actually could barely even pass a high school litmus test because – you know, when you are an athlete, people know you get preferential treatment. It's been outed at Louisville, North Carolina, all these different institutions where athletes don't go to class, get an A. Yep. They literally just make classes up that don't even exist
just
to give them an A.
Slide through and pass.
So, and it happened, I mean, the Derrick Rose story was a famous one. So then you get this situation where these professional athletes, because they've been so gifted their entire lives, have never really had to study and learn anything. They've never really developed an education, so they get to their adult life, and they want to try to adult. They want to try to be part of a movement, and then what you get is a Marshawn Lynch thinking that police brutality is worse in America than
Mexico. He
could
barely speak. I mean, this guy is like, you've seen him in interviews. I mean, Marshawn
Lynch. Well, he literally doesn't speak.
He's borderline gifted, I guess you could say.
I mean, like, let's look at this. Let's do a little transition here. So you've got LiAngelo Ball. You may recognize that name. He was one of the UCLA players that was shoplifting in China. As if that isn't dumb enough, then he goes and thanks President Trump in the press conference. Well, now he's taking it back.
Maybe his daddy told him to do that.
He said, no, not his daddy. His daddy hates Trump, too.
Uh-huh.
But he loves the fact that it gets publicity for that. Mm-hmm. So now UCLA, LiAngelo Ball says, UCLA made me thank Trump, and he wouldn't have done it if it wasn't for UCLA. So how about this, LiAngelo Ball? Let's say Donald Trump didn't try to get you from jail. You'd still be in jail in China. So maybe we should renegotiate that, since you've decided to take back, essentially, your thanking of President Trump. Maybe Trump should take back the effort he made to get you out of jail, and maybe you might wind up back there in jail. How would that feel?
But see, he knows by taking it back that he's going to get, Hollywood's going to love him now. Jimmy Kimmel's going to talk about him. He might be on The View.
So his dad probably told him to take it back.
Oh, I'll tell you what, man. He's going to get interviews. The liberals are going to love him. That's what you do. That's how you get all the attention right now.
So here's kind of a segue into different topics. And see, here's the thing, Darren, about me when I talk about this sports stuff, sometimes it honestly hits a little too home. I got to know some of these guys. Mm-hmm. And so you forget that at the end of the day, they're real people just like us. They do have feelings. They might seem like complete ignoramuses, but...
And they're not all dumb. I mean, look at Aaron Rodgers, Larry Fitzgerald. There's a lot of really smart guys, highly intelligent guys.
Absolutely.
Football.
Great people, too. Mm-hmm. True Americans and patriots. And so just like... And then I see a story like this. Celebs to star in Christmas show to benefit Planned Parenthood. So, A, my response is, why does Planned Parenthood need a Christmas show to benefit it? They already get our government dollars. B, why are celebrities supporting Planned Parenthood that illegally sells baby parts? That's about to be exposed. And in general, just murders babies. But it's like, it lists off the names of all these celebrities. It's like, I don't want to come on here and do a complain fest and a wine fest and name these celebrities and badmouth them. It's like, that's not what I want. They're not my enemies. But why are you doing this? What do you expect people to feel like? How do you expect Americans to feel when you support anti-American movements like in the NFL and you support Planned Parenthood that is just nothing more than illegal infanticide.
This is the great division. I hate to say it because we know that when Obama became president, that the nation became divided big time and intentionally. I believe that they're doing that.
Yeah, he made it worse.
And now that Trump is in, it's even more so, but that's not because of Donald Trump or anything he's doing. It's because of this Trump election hangover that's happening right now. Everybody is still upset. Look, first it was, what, it was the Russians. Now it's sexual assaults, and they're not going to stop. They're not going to stop. They want him out, and they're not going to stop until they think he's going to get impeached or, I don't know, what, civil war?
I mean, well, and there's been
what's
so,
it going to take?
There's been so much new. Well, I think we're about to find out what it's going to take. Some people are going to go to jail, and all of these leftists are going to look like complete idiots.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, I really think that's coming,
Darren.
Well,
the whole Russian investigation is what Sean Hannity calls a boomerang. Because they threw that out there, and it's coming back, and it's smacking them upside the head.
Yeah, so much for an insurance policy. It's going to end up being insurance fraud. But just to prove exactly what you're talking about, this is from Gateway Pundit just, I think, 2 days ago. New poll finds 92% of Democrats uninformed, ignorant, and easily played. And the poll is actually, it asks Republicans, Democrats, and independents, what is the likelihood that Trump advisors had improper dealings with Russia? And the options were very much or somewhat so compared to not very and not at all. 92% of Democrats think that Trump had improper dealings with Russia. 92% of Democrats.
And how come they're uninformed? Because they're watching CNN. They're watching MSNBC. And what's my least favorite? Late night comedy.
But so what do you think? But this is what I'm telling you, Darren. I mean, you want to talk about a come to Jesus moment? You want to talk about a look in the mirror and realize how big of a jackass you are moment? 92% of Democrats, when they find out that people are going to get jailed, I'm guessing, for the Russian Uranium One deal with Hillary Clinton. I mean,
they'll say it's a huge conspiracy.
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know how they're going to be able to save themselves.
It's a right wing conspiracy. Look how they acted when Trump got elected. If something when that goes down, oh, they're going to throw fits, man. Imagine Antifa. They'll all join Antifa at that point. Everybody, all the left will be Antifa.
You think? I mean, but that's what I'm, you really think that even after all of this, everything we've learned, and just the complete collapse and the failure of everything they've believed in, they're going to double, triple, quadruple down in the face of no chance for victory?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, we're going to find out soon enough.
That's what you call liberal logic.
I honestly think we're going to find out soon enough, folks. Trump's year anniversary is just a month away. And I expect big things to fly. Darren McBreen signs off. Leanne McAdoo joins us in the other side.
The American way of life is under attack. This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream right now at Infowars.com/show.
Gentlemen, we are the new intelligence agencies, and that's why they want to shut us down. They want a total control of information flow, a total monopoly on intelligence, and if InfoWars exists, well, they don't have it, do they? Because we're willing to bring you the news and the angles that the others aren't, and it's all possible because of you. At InfoWarsStore.com. You see, we don't have big pharmaceutical companies marketing on our platform. No, we don't have the big fast food conglomerates and everything you see, insurance companies, big pharmaceutical, all those ads you see on television, millions of dollars that fund. No. No, we don't get that. Because part of that means that you have to cater to the message they want on air. Well, we don't cater an answer to anyone except you, the audience. And it's you, the audience, that is the air that fills our lungs, the blood that fills our veins. And it's all possible at InfoWarsStore.com. So it's Christmas week, the first annual Christmas week. That's right. You've heard of Black Friday. You've heard of Cyber Monday. But now you've heard of Christmas week. Not one day of savings, but an entire week at InfoWarsStore.com. Let's list off some of these great specials as a part of Christmas week. 50% off some of the top sellers such as Brain Force, Vitamin Mineral Fusion, InfoWars Life Select Storable Food, Knockout, Survival Shield X2, Super Male Vitality, Prostaguard, and then two of our newest products, Cell Force and Alpha Power, both at an introductory rate of 50% off. Don't forget about DNA Force for 33% off. And do not forget that the entire store right now, the entire InfoWars store has free shipping. Now, if you're someone that's been on the fence about survival foods, and I'm, folks, it's time to get your survival foods. They're not going to let Trump take America back without a fight. And I really think he's about to put his foot down here. And right now, not only 50% off the survival foods, but free shipping. Okay, so now you're talking about monster savings at InfoWarsStore.com. It's Christmas week. Get your Christmas shopping done. T-shirts, hats, supplements, water filters, air filters. It's all at InfoWarsStore.com, and it all goes into expanding InfoWars and making it all possible. Now, one of our reporters, Leanne McAdoo, joins us, and we will take a few phone calls in the next segment, but right now I just want to bring Leanne on and get her feelings on everything that's developing right now in the world of politics. Leanne, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me back, Owen. I'm just really wondering, at what point is the left, are the liberals, when will the Democrats finally take a look at the total corruption and the politicization of what's going on with these intelligence agencies? When is it going to be enough for them to say, wow, this is actually quite scary. Look at the abuse of power potential that's here. When we're witnessing the total politicization of these alphabet agencies under the Obama administration. And so much stuff is coming out. I heard you and Darren kind of talking in the last segment about it, that they don't believe it. They're not with it. What was the percentage? You said 90-something% of Democrats.
Yeah, 92% of Democrats think for sure Trump colluded with Russia.
Right. And, you know, I've got a report I just put out today. Should be up on InfoWars.com. And we actually have an ex-spy chief. So this is the former acting director of the CIA, Michael Morell. He gave this surprisingly candid interview with Politico where he is talking about his role in the intelligence communities waging political war against the president and the incoming president. And he's describing it as, you know, I didn't really fully think through the ramifications of going political, because now we see the people don't trust the media, the people don't trust the intelligence agencies, the president doesn't trust the intelligence agencies. And so he's kind of candidly saying, well, you know, maybe we shouldn't have came out in full force and put this op-ed in the New York Times where we were saying, elect Hillary Clinton, she's gonna, you know, Trump is dangerous. He's the one who actually put out like three paragraphs in this New York Times op-ed where it was titled, I used to run the CIA, now I'm voting for Hillary Clinton. And in three paragraphs, he's talking about how Putin is his KGB agent, and he has played to Trump's narcissism and successfully brought in an unwitting Trump to be a part of the Russian Federation. And so this is a former CIA guy saying this back in August of 2016. A, where's he getting his information from? Quite probably that dossier that went around, because in this Politico interview, the girl asks him, the interviewer, Sarah Glasser, she says, you know, okay, Russiagate, you know, is what's the narrative there? How do we explain to people what happened? And he said, you know, I just don't think there's any there. The amount of credible news agencies that are on this every single day trying to find some evidence of corruption and collusion, or Robert Mueller, he hasn't found anything either, because he says that would have leaked out and we would know that they had found evidence. So even here, this former acting director of the CIA is saying there's no there. So even when you have someone coming out who says, I got political, I shouldn't have done it, and there's no there there. But even then, the Democrats are not buying it. They're not believing it. CNN is not coming out saying, we're sorry, we apologize for this year-long foray into Russian collusion, the Russia investigation. There is no there there. And so at what point do people finally say, wow, this Russian investigation, the FBI saw it as an insurance policy? Because no one ever thought that Trump was actually going to get elected. They thought for sure. That's why they put their neck on the line and were so bold in their nefarious deeds with all their doings behind closed doors. That's why they were so bold to put their neck out and say, vote for Hillary. She's got our support. Because they didn't see Trump winning. But just in case he did win, they were there with the Russian investigation. That was their insurance policy.
And that's the amazing thing, is that's not rhetoric. That's not an opinion. This is not this is facts. We've got this all. This is what they said. This is their very words, just like the WikiLeaks. We're just taking the words from their very mouth. Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, you could provide probably thousands of examples at this point to say, hey, look, liberals are mentally, something's wrong with them. But this might be number one. When you've got all of these people completely convinced that Trump colluded with Russia, yet no evidence, still nothing.
Right.
They still have nothing. They can't point to anything. They can't name names. They can't name dates. They can't tell you what happened. They think they have something here. They got nothing. Meanwhile, okay, we've got the DOJ clearly colluding with the FBI, clearly colluding with the Obama administration. We've got the emails. We've got the texts. We're finding out now about Stroke. We're finding out now about Mueller. I mean, it's just like all this stuff that's not rhetoric, not pontification, just not opinion, just fact.
Right.
Research it for yourself. And it's just like, Mueller, we're going to stay over here in la-la land. Thank you.
Mueller and Rosenstein are sitting on the board that, rubber stamped the Uranium One deal, but now they're supposed to be overseeing the Russia collusion. I mean, all of it is a total, complete joke. And, one of the things a guy points out in this interview is that the CIA works for the president. The president is the client of the CIA. And so all the way up until Trump took the oath of office, they're still working for the Obama administration. And don't forget what Chuck Schumer said. They got six ways a Sunday to fix you if you come after them.
I'm telling you, it's all about to backfire. And I just wonder how dumb these Democrat liberals are going to feel when they are proven wrong. Well, if it wasn't the last segment and I didn't have a stack of news to cover, I'd probably just let that song play because it's so beautiful. But I got Leanne McAdoo on the air with me, and we got big news to cover, and we're going to take a couple phone calls here. You had John McCain wearing the boot. You got Hillary Clinton wearing the boot. And I didn't, I saw the rumors, people saying they have a belt. They have the monitor on their ankle, the ankle bracelet, to make sure that they, can't leave the country or do this or that. And I kind of just, brushed that aside. But then you've got the images of John McCain's boot switching foots, which doesn't really necessarily add up to the ankle bracelet unless he got confused and forgot what ankle the bracelet was on, which you could actually, that would make sense. McCain is kind of losing it with his brain cancer, which he's checked back into the hospital for, apparently, right when the dossier news continues to get even worse for him. But Hillary Clinton wearing the boot, too. Maybe they really do have the ankle bracelets are, because I do believe Trump's about to come down on these people. I think that the patience that Trump has exhibited has not been reported on accurately. And I think that anything and everyone behind this fake Trump dossier is about to be chewing concrete, if you will. Leanne, before we get to these calls real quick, any other big news, anything else you want to talk about?
Well, let's talk about the way CNN is portraying the end of the internet as we know it. I mean, they are getting people so riled up that the internet is about to implode, as if prior to 2015, we were being price gouged by Netflix and all of these other giants.
Actually, Netflix prices went up.
Exactly. Netflix prices went up. The censorship went up. YouTube decided they were going to go to change their platform to a pay platform. So they start censoring everyone, but doing it slowly, saying, oh, we're demonetizing you because, you know, you're political or you're offensive or this or that. But really their end game is that they want to become a streaming like Netflix or something where people got to pay to, you know, to watch YouTube Red. So prior to Obama's saving the internet was working just great. And even Netflix put out a tweet, you know, saying how...
Wait a second. The internet was not working great. We were able to find out about WikiLeaks. We were able to find out about all the corruption behind Obama. So the internet was working terribly. There was way too much information for people out there.
Exactly. Way too much information and way too
We can't have the people be informed. What are you, crazy?
Way too much potential for competition for sites like Facebook or Netflix or Google or others. Now, thanks to net neutrality, those other smaller people, the real innovators who might want to try to come up in the ranks, they can't do that. I mean, well, they can now, I guess, if they repeal net neutrality. But I mean, it's just such a joke. And the fact that CNN is just the way they're reporting it is that it's just the world is going to implode. People are going to die. the internet is over.
Well, this is just another example.
Now,
this is just another example of the low IQ liberal. Oh, sorry, I'm being redundant. Just believing all of the fake news, and because that's what it is. I mean, we've got the polls to show it. They'll believe anything. You tell a liberal that. Donald Trump, you know, humped an acorn at the monkey petting zoo in 1905. You know, there'll be blogs about it. There'll be movies about it. They'll literally buy anything. I'll tell you what, though. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I wanted to point this out because when I saw this earlier this week, it really made me very upset. I know a lot of people, we had some articles up about that Homeland trailer that came out with the Alex Jones character talking about taking out the female president. That to me was so frightening because obviously this is very lazy writing by the writers who, they had planned on Hillary Clinton winning the presidency. So initially this female character, she was like a, you know, kind, sympathetic character. And so what they originally had planned, as you can see, is that they were going to have this Alex Jones type character go and try to assassinate this first female president that everyone loved. And imagine if she really had become president. We know that we were in Hillary Clinton's crosshairs. She would have done everything she could to take out InfoWars. And frankly, I really feel like something would have been planned. Something really crazy would have been planned that they could have blamed on Alex Jones. And that Homeland, just the show itself, the fact that they were so lazy, they couldn't even change the script with this Alex Jones character.
Well, it was too late for that. They were just as invested as Clinton winning as everyone else. So, unfortunately for them, it was too late for them to just change the entire show.
They just changed the female character to now she's this tyrannical Trump character.
I do think you're right, though. I think had Hillary won, there could have been a Waco-style event go down here at our headquarters, if you will. Hey, let's take a couple callers here. We got 5 minutes left of the show. Let's go to Alex in Connecticut. You're on the air with Leanne McAdoo. Go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
It's going well. What's on your mind?
Great. First, I'd like to say, good to see you, man. I hope I don't come across.
Hey, Alex, you're coming in. Like, it sounds like you're eating your phone right now. Can you move the phone away from your face?
Oh, is that better?
Much better. Thank you.
Awesome. Hey, Leanne, you look beautiful. Oh, no, I just crossed the line. Don't send me any hate stuff. Oh, my gosh.
You have just sexually harassed me by
Oh my gosh. Caller sexually harasses Leanne McAdoo on the air. We've got it.
Anyways, I've been trying to get a hold of Roger Stone, but I keep missing it. Remember when Matt Bacon was on? He was talking about Demis.
Again, Alex, you're coming in. It sounds like you're eating your phone. Who?
Demis. You know, people who are cucks for Muslims and Islamic people working government who do the bidding of Muslims and stuff. Matt Bacon said it was
like a Brennan. Okay, go ahead.
And I was just trying to see if we had any in Washington right now that the Trump administration has identified it, as well as maybe ones here in Connecticut. So.
Well, I don't know any news about Trump identifying people that. I don't know. It's an interesting question. I've heard no news about anyone in the Trump administration trying to label, I guess, just to put it more harshly, ISIS sympathizers within the government. I've not heard anything about that. Have you, Leanne?
Well, I mean, Huma didn't get in the office with her girlfriend, Hillary, so I don't know. Maybe we shut
that
down.
So we kept the ISIS sympathizers out because we didn't elect Hillary. John McCain, though, is still a member of our government, so there's an ISIS sympathizer. Thank you so much for the call, Alex. Let's go to O'Brien in Maryland. You're closing us out today. Go ahead, O'Brien.
Yeah, about the more about the special election in Alabama. I mean, this thing could have been rigged. I mean,
it could have been rigged. It was rigged.
Yeah. Basically, I was just listening to the live stream where you guys were basically live streaming. I mean, when was it? I think Tuesday, I think. And everybody was saying that basically they've always used paper ballots, and now they're switching to electronic ballots.
Yeah, all right, O'Brien, thank you for the call. Sorry, we just have a short time today. Let me just tell you what O'Brien was talking about. Tuesday night, we did a live coverage of the special election. And we had a caller call in from Talladega County, which always goes red and magically went blue in this last election. She said that this was the first time she's ever filled out an actual electronic ballot and not a paper ballot. Then you had the Alabama Supreme Court say we're going to get rid of the digital ballots that actually take the tallies. So those were some of the anomalies, as well as I'll tell you, Leanne. This was the craziest 20,000
plus write-in votes. Watson's got the article with the people saying, well, we came in from across the country.
Yeah, so that's a weird one. But the biggest thing to me that I still can't believe I've not heard anyone else talk about it. This is not even an opinion. This is just fact. 500,000 Republican voters didn't show up. They just disappeared. What? For the primary, you had almost 600,000 Republicans show up to vote in the primary. You had 160,000 Democrats show up. And then magically, more Democrats show up for the first time in an Alabama election in 15 years? How does nobody else talk about that, Leanne?
Well, you know, Drudge has a point. Sometimes things are just too crazy. You know, maybe people were just like, I got to sit this out because I don't know in good conscience which way to vote. Who knows?
I can't ride the bench on anything.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, if you want to say, oh, did that guy just admit that they're bussing voters in? Okay, maybe there's something there. We've got the history of the Democrat Party admitting they do stuff like that. Project Veritas has caught them. Okay, maybe you've got something there. But that's pontification. This is not, you just look at the numbers. 500,000 Republicans didn't show up. Why? Is it because of voter intimidation done by Doug Jones Super PAC ads? Is it because they bought the false accusations?
People will know how you voted.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so why didn't they show up? No one's asking, Leanne. Why doesn't anybody ask that question?
Right. No, I mean, it's a very good point. It's definitely unheard of. And I hope that the Democrats don't say, oh, yes, this is good. We're going to use this for every election coming on. And the whole sex assault.
Bingo.
It was racism. Last time it was racism. This time it's sexism.
Well, there goes Leanne McAdoo, as always, bringing us the information. You can find her reports on the Alex Jones channel. Signing off of the War Room, I'm Owen Schroyer. You stay classy, Info Warriors.